Somebody wrote to me after using this image once and said, what an invocative or evocative, not sure which, image it is. And it's so, you know, to see whether it's the Buddha or not, just sitting, staring into cosmos. We are capable of that. And I think we kind of, get whiffs of that possibility when we are quiet with ourselves, when we do just simply sit. And in that moment of just simply sitting, when all there is sitting, we are participating in or becoming the space of awareness, yes, which is basically undefinable. And we are participating in the space between what? Fundamentally, between thoughts and reactions. Because they are so autonomic that autonomic quality, we don't notice how many thoughts that we have, how many emotive responses are generated by the matrix of our mind-emotion complex. So when we just sit, and if we're looking at something, we're not trying to define it, say that we like it or don't like it, but we really are just presence. Then in that moment, the truth is, in that moment, if there's no thought, no emotion, no judging, there's nothing, we are actually staring into cosmos. We are actually participating cosmologically. That is Vipassana. So just like awareness, true awareness, is indescribable, Vipassana in some ways, because it means multiple things, is undefinable. And I mention this so that we don't latch onto or have some literal limited goal for ourselves individually as we are sitting in meditation. In that way, without limiting, then not only is all that we practice on the cushion applicable and should be more easily applicable in our off the cushion day, but furthermore, we will kind of with sparkles in our heart and our eyes, realize that off the cushion truly is the greater meditation. And then with that joyous insight, again, that's one of the meanings of Vipassana, right? Penetrating insight. With that joyous insight that has penetrated the truth and the reality, our day is the only true place for meditation. With that insight, now everything that we have learned, thought we were good at on the cushion, everything that is possible, now it really becomes useful. Now it really can be applied. and the insights and the cosmos and the perceiving through the luminous pure perception that is possible. Holy moly. You want to talk about seeing cosmos, participating in cosmos? That's it right there. We smile and take a long, slow, deep breath. We settle, breathing in and breathing out. Now, one more thing before we sit in silence. The mirror has been brought forward as a point of contemplation and as an analogy. A mirror doesn't do anything different when something is put before it. And now there's a reflection of that something or someone in the mirror, right? Your bathroom mirror doesn't do anything different when you step in front of the bathroom mirror and can see yourself. The mirror has been unchanged in its quality, its character, if you were to say even its capacity. By nature, the mirror is designed to and created to reflect. Now, our emotion-mind complex is designed and created to do the same thing. Our mind-emotion complex doesn't do anything different whether there's nothing in front of us or there is something in front of us. Our mind-emotion complex is going to do the same thing. If there's nothing in front of us and we have chosen to leave the moment, the present, as the present, wherein there is nothing in front of us, then no thought or emotion would arise. But our problem is that we are so habituated to bringing the past into the present and thinking about the future when the future has not, of course, created itself. So we don't leave the present alone. We don't leave the present as the present. That's the human conundrum. It's an animal conundrum too. That's why mice and everything else, you know, gather for the winter, that kind of thing, right? So it's part of our animal nature, heredity. So you understand the point. The mind, emotion complex, doesn't need the me to reflect, to create image, to have sensation, etc. It doesn't need the me. By its own character, it that's what it's created to do, is to reflect, to sense, okay? So if all that matters is the space and the space between, that's a reminder to us that the me is not necessary for cognition. For cognition, the me is not necessary. Cognition would be another way of saying the reflective quality, you see. So for the next few minutes, contemplate that a little bit and then meditate, okay? And then we'll do our ohms at the end. A smile. Sorry. A smile. A long, slow, deep breath. Shake it up if you need to. You've listened a lot. And breathe. Settle again. And then contemplate what's been said. We smile and take a long, slow, deep breath. We breathe our sitting. And as we om, let us bless our day with our sitting. Because there's all kinds of things to navigate every single day. And some are not so easy. Some are joyous. So let's bless it all with the neutrality of space, with the quality of mirror that doesn't do anything different, no matter if something's in front, something's not in front. Just so that the reactiveness and the personalization, that's what we're trying to get a handle on. Reactiveness, personalization, and how our personal data bank from our experiences of our life, what we've learned through all the mechanisms, of learning that we have, including every day, we want to kind of undo the autonomic of that, so that at least when we respond to something, we're aware that we're responding, and we're like really aware, not just aware after the fact or rationalizing the response, these kinds of things that are also very personally driven and fundamentally autonomic and therefore unconscious. That's what Vipassana is trying to kind of get at, right? Okay, so let's om our meditation sitting into our day. And as you open your eyes, look one more time at that image on the screen. And breathe it in. And know that essentially, you are this. Love you all. Create your day.